I am loving.
I am fabulous.
I am beautiful.
I am saved.
I am a victor.
I am faithful.
I am devout.
I am accepted.
I am a Christian. I am MCC.
And I am MCC.
I am MCC.
I am MCC.
And I am MCC.
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 One Sabbath, he was going through the grain fields, and as they made their way, his disciples began to pluck heads of grain. The Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" And he said to them, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need of food? He entered the house of God, where Abiathar was high priest, and ate the bread of the presence, which is not lawful for any but the priests to eat, and he gave some to his companions. Then he said to them, 'The Sabbath was made for humankind, and not humankind for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even on the Sabbath.'" Mark 2:23-28. Mark 3:1-6. "Again he entered the synagogue, and a man was there who had a withered hand. They watched him to see whether he would cure him on the Sabbath, so that they might accuse him. And he said to the man who had the withered hand, 'Come forward.' Then he said to them, 'Is it lawful to do good or to do harm on the Sabbath, to save life or to kill?' But they were silent. He looked around at them with anger. He was grieved at their hardness of hearts and said to the man, 'Stretch out your hand.' He stretched it out, and his hand was restored. The Pharisees went out and immediately conspired with the Herodians against him, how to destroy him." Luke 13:10-17. "Now he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And just then there appeared a woman with a spirit that had crippled her for 18 years. She was bent over and quite unable to stand up straight. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, 'Woman, you are set free from your ailment.' When he laid hands on her, immediately she stood up straight and began praising God. But the leader of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had cured on the Sabbath, kept saying to the crowd, 'There are 6 days on which work ought to be done. Come on those days to be cured and not on the Sabbath day.' But the Lord answered him and said, 'You hypocrites, does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead it away to give it water? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, who Satan bound for 18 long years, be set free from this bondage on the Sabbath day?' When he said this, all his opponents were put to shame, and the entire crowd was rejoicing at the wonderful things that he was doing." All right, now for the sermon. Before we begin, a content warning. This preaching will include topics of transphobia, brutality against trans people, and suicide. Feel free to excuse yourself from the sermon at any time if it becomes too much. With that out of the way, welcome, brothers and sisters and siblings. Earlier this week, on November the 20th, we observed Trans Day of Remembrance, a day to honor the memory of trans people whose lives were lost to anti-transgender violence. I'd be remiss not to also remember our sister Choi, trans woman and member of our church community who passed away earlier this year. To make sure we're all on the same page, I'm going to run us through some definitions. I've tried to keep these simple, but it's possible there's some nuance I've missed. So if you have anything you'd like to add, feel free to chime in after the service or in the comment section of this video or a podcast. So, sex has to do with someone's body, their chromosomes, internal reproductive organs, and external genitalia, which contribute to how someone is biologically categorized as male, female, or intersex. Intersex meaning born with a combination of the aforementioned characteristics that don't fit the typical definitions of male and female. Gender identity is different from sex. It's someone's mental and emotional self-concept, their deeply felt sense of being a boy or a man, a girl or a woman, or something else, like non-binary or genderqueer. Gender identity is separate and distinct from sexual orientation. which refers to the genders to whom one can be attracted to. Trans people can be straight, gay, bisexual, pansexual, etc. When someone's gender identity lines up with their sex assigned at birth, we call that being cisgender. A cisgender person is someone who is not transgender. So, a transgender person is someone whose gender identity does not fully line up with their sex assigned at birth. Transgender is a wide umbrella term that covers lots of different experiences, and it's often shortened to trans. A trans woman is a person whose gender identity does not fully line up with their sex assigned at birth. A trans woman is a person whose sex assigned at birth was male, but her gender identity is female. A trans woman is a woman. A trans man is a person whose sex assigned at birth was female, next slide, but his gender identity is male. A trans man is a man. There are people whose gender identity falls outside the binary, meaning two genders of male and female. We call this being non-binary. Non-binary is an identity in and of itself, and it's also used as an umbrella term. Identities such as agender, bigender, gender fluid, and gendered queer fall under this category. Some non-binary people consider themselves trans and some don't. Those who don't might be considered gender non-conforming, also sometimes called gender diverse. Gender non-conforming is an umbrella term used to describe people whose gender expression does not conform with gender norms associated with their sex assigned at birth. Not all gender non-conforming people identify as trans, and not all trans people are gender non-conforming. Gender expression is how a person presents themselves through clothing, haircut, mannerisms, etc., to communicate gender externally. Gender expression may or may not conform or reflect a person's gender identity. Gender dysphoria refers to the discomfort or distress that a trans person may feel stemming from the way their bodies, their gender expression, or the way they're perceived and treated by people doesn't reflect their gender identity. So, to give an example, my sex assigned at birth was female, but my gender identity, how I see myself, is best encapsulated by the terms non-binary and genderqueer. And I do consider myself transgender because my gender identity doesn't fully line up with my sex assigned at birth. My gender expression today is on the more masculine side, but even on the days when I dress more feminine, my gender identity internally is still non-binary and genderqueer. And I feel dysphoria when people misgender me, and when I think about the fact that since I wasn't born intersex, there are people who will never recognize me as being neither a man or a woman. But as trans people go, I have it relatively easy. I'm one of the lucky ones. Within the last year, there were at least 331 murders of trans and gender diverse people worldwide, according to the Trans Murder Monitoring Research Project. We say at least because these are just the murders that were reported. Here in the Philippines, one murder of a trans woman reached news headlines this year, that of Jess Remiedo, described as one of the kindest women in Pangasinan, who was hacked to death and left on a beach. But murders like these are just one deadly symptom of a sickness that pervades our society, transphobia. The ignorance about fear and disgust and hatred of trans people. And it shows up in more subtle ways than murders. It starts with the refusal to accept that trans people are the gender they identify as. It shows up as intentionally calling them by a dead name and pronouns they no longer use. Excluding trans women from women's spaces, not even acknowledging the existence of genders outside the binary, harassing trans people for using public restrooms, petitioning to prevent the passing of laws which protect trans people from discrimination. And many people who call themselves Christians justify doing such actions by claiming they're just acting in accordance with the Bible's teaching. So why did I choose these passages for Trans Day of Remembrance? Over the next several minutes, I'll try to make my reasoning clear to you. So, in all of these passages, we see a conflict between Jesus and some religious authorities over whether or not something Jesus or his disciples were doing was lawful to do on the Sabbath. The religious authorities, the Pharisees, the synagogue leader, were very concerned with God's law. They spent years studying and meditating on it. In the synagogues, they preached to the common people, interpreting how the law should be applied day to day. Keeping the Sabbath had become one of the most important laws for the Jews during this time. People were supposed to rest and refrain from work in order to honor God on this holy day. But among many of the religious leaders, though not all of them, Jesus himself was a Pharisee, the way they were interpreting the law had them prescribing such restrictive regulations for how the Sabbath was to be observed that it became a burden to the common people. They were so concerned with enforcing the letter of the law that they were losing the spirit of the law, why it was given in the first place. In Luke 13, 14 to 16, we read, But the leader of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had cured on the Sabbath, kept saying to the crowd, "There are 6 days on which work ought to be done. Come on one of those days to be cured, and not on the Sabbath day." But the Lord answered him and said, "You hypocrites, does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead it away to give it water? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, who Satan bound for 18 long years, be set free from bondage on this Sabbath day?" The leader of the synagogue demanded adherence to the law, even if it meant denying someone relief from years of pain and suffering. Let's look at a similar passage from Mark, which is one of the sources used in writing Luke. One Sabbath, he was going through the grain fields, and as they made their way, his disciples began to pluck heads of grain. The Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" And he said to them, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need of food? He entered the house of God when Abiathar was high priest and ate the bread of the presence, which is not lawful for any but the priests to eat. And he gave some to his companions. Then he said to them, 'The Sabbath was made for humankind and not humankind for the Sabbath. And so the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath.'" In Jesus' example with David and his companions, he points out how their being hungry and in need took priority. The Sabbath was made for humankind and not humankind for the Sabbath. Let's look at the next scene in Mark 3, 1 to 5. You want to read this with me? Entered the synagogue, and a man was there with a withered hand. They watched him to see whether he would cure on the Sabbath, so they might accuse him. Then, with a withered hand, "Come forward." Then he said to them, "Is it lawful to do good or to do harm on the Sabbath, to save life or to kill?" But they were silent. He looked around them with anger. He was grieved at their hardness of heart, and said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched it out, and his hand was restored. We can see from these passages that Jesus prioritized the lives and well-being of people over adhering to the letter of the law which, in the first place, was given to benefit people. We see Jesus choosing to bring healing. So what does this have to do with trans people? There are too many people today who call themselves Christians, acting like some of the religious leaders at that time, with hardened hearts prioritizing the enforcement of the letter of the law according to their interpretation over the lives and well-being of their fellow humans. I've seen people I know who call themselves Christians laughing along at the suggestion of mutilating trans women for daring to step into the women's restroom. The 2015 U.S. Transgender Survey found that over half of trans respondents had avoided using a public restroom in the past year because they were afraid of confrontations or other problems they might face. Nearly one-third limited the amount they ate and drank to avoid using the restroom. 8% reported having a urinary tract infection, kidney infection, or other kidney-related problem as a result of avoiding restrooms. Jesus asked, "Is it lawful to do good or to do harm on the Sabbath? To save life or to kill?" Although being trans isn't a mental disorder, the American Psychological Association recognizes that experiencing a lack of acceptance or experiencing discrimination or violence for being trans leads to higher rates of mental health problems like depression and anxiety among trans people. I've identified as non-binary for 4 years before finally coming out publicly this September. And the response I've got from some of the people in my family, the feeling of rejection and isolation, seeing what they think of trans people from what they post on Facebook, it weighs heavy. Heavy enough for my psychiatrist to see fit to double the dosage of my anxiety medication. And yet, among trans people, I have it relatively easy. Trans women are disproportionately targeted for violence and discrimination and harassment. And for trans people on the intersection with other kinds of discrimination, other kinds of marginalization like race, poverty, homelessness, sex work, and HIV, the hardship they face is compounded. Another US survey found that 41% of trans people have attempted suicide. That's 9 times the national average. Trans and gender nonconforming people who had been rejected by their family or friends, who would face discrimination at work or school, or when trying to access health care, or who had experienced homelessness, or were living with HIV, were even more likely to have attempted suicide. Jesus asked, "Is it lawful to do good or to do harm on the Sabbath? To save life or to kill?" When trans people receive health care that affirms their gender identity, like hormone replacement therapy, that is healing. In their guidelines for practice with trans and gender nonconforming people, the American Psychological Association cited cites a meta-analysis on the hormone replacement therapy research for trans and gender nonconforming people, which finds 80% of participants receiving trans-affirmative care experienced an improved quality of life, decreased gender dysphoria, and a reduction in negative psychological symptoms. When trans people are supported by the people around them, that's healing. The aforementioned guideline adds that trans and gender nonconforming people who received social support about their gender identity and have and expression have improved outcomes and quality of life. The prevalence of attempted suicides was found to be lower for trans and gender nonconforming people whose family relationships remained strong after coming out. When Jesus was faced with a woman whose body caused her years of pain and discomfort, Jesus chose to bring her healing. When Jesus came across a man whose condition likely prevented him from finding work, Jesus chose to bring him healing. Again and again in Scripture, Jesus is shown to prioritize the lives and well-being of people over keeping the letter of the law when it would prolong their suffering, and Jesus chooses healing. If you want to follow in his footsteps and choose healing over harm for trans people, here are some of the ways I think you can do that. This is based on my experience as a trans non-binary person and my research regarding articles and watching videos by other trans people on how to be a good ally. If you're a trans person and you have your own recommendations or feedback on mine, feel free to share them at the end of the service or in the comment section of this video or podcast. One, listen to trans people. When they tell you what name they use, accept it and use it as their name. When they tell you what pronouns they use those as their pronouns. If you make a mistake, it's okay. Just don't make a big deal about it. Just say sorry and move on. But also ask who they're out to. You don't want to accidentally out. Two, know that trans people are a diverse group. Some trans people experience a lot of dysphoria from their bodies. Some are fine with their bodies and just experience dysphoria from other people recognizing them as the wrong gender. Some don't experience much dysphoria at all. Some trans people use hormones and surgeries to transition. Some only take hormones. Some don't seek medical transition at all. Some trans people have always known. Some find out later in life. Some experience gender as fluid. One might identify as a trans man for a time and later find that genderqueer is a more accurate descriptor of their experience with gender, or vice versa, and all are valid. There is such a diversity of experiences under the trans umbrella, and trans people have different levels of comfort discussing trans issues. But in most cases, it's safe to assume that trans people don't want you asking what their genitals look like. It's inappropriate to ask cisgender people about their genitals, and it's also rude to ask trans people about their genitals. So take your awkward questions to Google. This brings me to my next point. Educate yourself. Take some of the burden off trans people's shoulders of always having to explain our existence. Look up resources online. There are plenty of videos on YouTube made by trans creators answering all sorts of questions. The American Psychological Association and GLAAD have FAQ pages on their websites. It should be noted, however, that these are from a Western perspective and may not represent how gender identity and sexual orientation is understood and talked about in the Philippines. For resources on being trans in the Philippines, you can look to transph.org or attend local talks and workshops organized by trans people. And from your listening to trans people and educating yourself on trans issues, use that knowledge to, four, take action. Four, take action to support trans people when you have the opportunity. If you hear your buddy use the wrong pronouns for an out trans person, correct them. If you see someone you think might be trans in a public restroom, just leave them alone like you would any other stranger in a public restroom. If your trans friend feels unsafe using a public restroom and you use the same one as them, you can offer to go with them. If your school or workplace doesn't allow trans people to list themselves as the gender they identify as, if They don't allow trans people to wear the uniform or dress code that aligns with their gender identity. Petition for more trans-inclusive policies. If you can, petition for more trans-inclusive policies in your barangay, city, and country. Right now in the Philippines, and elsewhere in the world, living as a trans person is difficult, and in many cases, puts one in the line of danger. But you, allies, can make a difference. When you are faced with the opportunity to do good or to do harm for trans people, I hope you'll remember what Jesus chose when faced with the opportunity to bring healing. I hope you will choose healing over harm for trans people again and again until the day comes where we no longer have need for a trans day of remembrance. Thank you.